This is Cassandra Blachowiak, the Associate Editor of the Daily Briefing, here today with Mike Wagner of the Advisory Board's Talent Development Partnerships to discuss why talent development is important in today's healthcare marketplace. Considering everything going on in U.S. healthcare, should hospital executives take on talent development now?
The bottom line is that the quality of talent, both the strength of leadership within an organization and the ability of that leadership to unleash the talent of their staff has long been the distinguishing factor between success and failure. Studies show, for example, that when it comes to failed initiatives, 3/4 of those failures are due to talent issues. You know, not external factors, not process design factors, but the talent within the organization. And if you look at clinical studies, 2/3 of mortality, 2/3 of mistakes within an organization are in fact failures of the human factor, teamwork failures, leadership failures. And so ultimately you cannot be successful, you never have been able to be successful without strong leadership and strong talent within the organization. And so when you put that into today's context, with us being asked to do things that have never been done before, to be held accountable for outcomes that have never been the responsibility of a standalone hospital or a health system, whether it be better results, higher quality, lower costs, we are never going to chart new territory without great leadership able to actually take an organization forward. So if you think about it, since success and failure has always been driven by the human factor, by talent, by leadership, even more so now when the challenges arguably are challenges we've never seen and challenges that are greater than ever, it is only going to be organizations that can be more nimble, more agile, stronger leaders who can take those organizations forward in highly, highly uncertain times. And so I would argue that in some ways investing in talent has become an absolute must investment as opposed to an occasional investment, because again, it's going to be the linchpin between success and failure moving forward.
Can you tell us more specifically how investing in people helps organizations respond to the variety and, frankly, still uncertain challenges brought about by reform?
The key word in your question is uncertain, because although there has been a lot of talk and, of course, a lot of legislation, a lot of things have been done to reform the healthcare system, we have to be honest with ourselves and recognize that we really do not know what any of this will look like 3, 4, 5 years from now. Regulations still being written. It is still a highly political process, subject to a lot of different change and adjustment and different directions. And so, although it is certain that change is coming, it is highly uncertain what that end point will really look like. In fact, there probably won't be an end point. That reform will be a constant and ongoing change. That I think it's fair to say, you know, steps will be taken to try to bring quality to higher levels, and then further steps will be needed to bring costs under control, and the pressures for change will just continue to grow. And so a hospital health system has to be able to deal with a highly uncertain future, where we may believe that regulations or the healthcare system is going in one direction at the beginning of the year, and several months later, all of that may be for naught and it all may change. And what the leaders of a hospital are going to have to do is be able to be nimble enough and agile enough and flexible enough and creative and innovative enough to actually adjust to that change, redesigning how they do business, redesigning the services they deploy, redesigning the partnerships that they forge with others. And so leaders are going to have to be able to respond to changing conditions, changing structures, changing outcomes. What we find is that a lot of hospitals, health systems, as they face this great uncertainty, are at different stages of a migration towards strong leadership. And so we have found that some hospitals and health systems really need to build core capacity of their leaders. Others have strong leaders in place, but those leaders need to be focused to get better results or better outcomes in the moment. Yet other hospitals are facing challenges where they need to reform their entire culture in order to provide a platform where great leaders can succeed.
At this point in the reform process, most hospital executives acknowledge that a key component of future success will be effectively working with physicians. Based on your work with partners, how would you suggest administrators accomplish this?
Without question, a hospital or a health system will not be able to meet the demands of the market, higher quality, lower cost, better service, if they are unable to collaborate with physicians. Unfortunately, what we have found is that collaborating with physicians is both a vexing and an elusive challenge, that it is a problem that has faced hospitals and health systems literally for decades. And what our research has shown as we work with hospitals and health systems around the world is that it is not unique to any type of system or culture. It is not unique to any type of structure or employment system. So we see hospitals with fully employed physician groups, and they still have trouble collaborating with their doctors. We see hospitals with totally independent physician groups, and again, they have trouble collaborating with their doctors. With reform and with all of the changes that hospitals are being asked to make, they are not going to be successful if they do not solve this decades-old problem. And that's probably where some of the greatest insights of our research have been surprising, is that a lot of hospital administrators, physician leaders, they believe that somehow this should be a 50-50 proposition. How do we make sure that hospitals and doctors can meet each other at the 50% mark and work together to fix this? The bad news is that ultimately the burden really falls on the hospital and the health system to make this happen. That it is the hospital and the health system that has to create an environment where collaboration can happen. And that means eliminating frustrations. That means building better communication networks. It means building a platform, building a hospital that ultimately is ready to and able to collaborate with doctors. The good news of that is that we don't have to wait for a ready physician group to come along, is that regardless of the state or the history of collaboration, we see hospitals and health systems changing the direction of their collaboration, building a highly collaborative environment where one perhaps has not existed in the past. And again, that means not just taking a one-size-fits-all strategy, but having a very determined strategy to first build collaboration, then increase the contributions of some of those doctors for improvement, ultimately getting to a point where physicians can actually help to own the clinical and quality agenda. But again, it is the hospital, the health system, that both gets to and has to take ownership of that agenda if it is going to work.
What if an organization's greatest need is tackling a targeted standalone outcome? Would you still stand behind people as being the appropriate solution?
Most hospitals, when they launch an improvement initiative, research shows will fail in that effort. In fact, 3 out of 5 initiatives show no results at all. 1 out of 5 initiatives that hospitals launch actually show worse outcomes after their improvement initiative than when they started. And so only 1 out of 5 initiatives actually accomplish the objective that the hospital wants to try to achieve. Other research is even more disturbing, that shows when a hospital actually does elevate performance around cost improvement or service outcomes, that it is a small minority, approximately 1%, of hospitals that actually hold on to that improvement for more than 2 or 3 years of time. And so hospitals and health systems are spending massive amounts of money and time and focus to improve results and either getting no improvement at all or not holding on to that improvement over time. And it's not surprising why that is, because we have leaders who are being challenged to elevate performance or to meet demands or to achieve objectives that they've never had to meet before. And we've got great nurses that have been thrust into leadership positions when they have been great nurses but have never had to lead. Doctors who are marvelous clinicians that have never had to lead initiatives. Being a fantastic pharmacist is not the same as being able to design a medication safety and delivery protocol. And so what we find is that most of the investment that hospitals make in improvement fails to generate improvement because our leaders don't have the skills, the ability, the focus to actually be able to lead these initiatives forward. And so when we work with a hospital on performance acceleration, what we do is we take a leader, help them focus on real initiatives that they need to lead, real outcomes that they need to improve, and then help not only achieve those outcomes, track projects, pursue improvements, but we embed and teach the right leadership skills at the right time so that they are the one in five, that they are actually the organizations that achieve the improvement they want to see. And so we teach the skills that are necessary to elevate performance in the moment, problem solving and critical thinking skills and project management skills and change leadership skills and so forth. So again, a lot of focus on how do we make sure that our great clinicians, our great managers in the past have the right leadership abilities to deal with the challenges of today and the challenges of the future.
Several of our research agendas this year discuss the importance of engaging frontline staff when taking on change initiatives. Would you advocate approaching frontline development differently than you would other groups?
Within the healthcare system, one of the greatest sources of untapped potential is actually the thousands of staff members on the front line of healthcare. Any given hospital, any given health system is really a pyramid if you think about it. There are a few executives at the top, and there are a good number of leaders and managers in the middle, but there are hundreds and thousands of nurses, doctors, technicians, frontline staff that provide care on a day-to-day basis, and they have the best vantage point as to what needs to be done to actually improve the quality of care. They know better than anybody when and why does communication fail. They know better than anybody what processes do not work well. They better than anybody knows when we are disserving our patient or where there are risks to quality. And yet all of that vantage point, all of that insight is often untapped by a typical hospital or health system. If you ask CEOs, and we've surveyed chief executives, they will tell you that probably no more than one in five great ideas from the front line are ever implemented. And so one thing that we're seeing more and more hospitals want to focus on is how do we allow the front line to have real impact? How do we make sure that frontline individuals can have an opportunity to step up, surface ideas, and take those ideas and make them real, actually improve the performance of a department or improve the performance of the hospital or the health system. And so what we have seen several successful organizations do is really work with us to untap or to break, break out that potential for the long-term improvement and the advantage of the healthcare system. And so we'll work with a hospital health system to create platforms, opportunities for the frontline staff to surface those ideas and to begin working on them, to actually be given some carved out chances to make a difference and make an impact. And yet, these frontline staff members need help and support because we're asking them to actually take on informal leadership roles where they have a great idea, but then we want them to be able to implement that idea, which involves some basic leadership skills that are not, maybe normally part of their job, where they have to be able to put an analysis together, or they need to be able to influence others outside their department, build a team, build consensus. They have to be able to design processes that involve multiple handoffs, multiple skill levels of individuals. And so what we'll do is, at the same time we work with these organizations to provide the carved out opportunities and time to lead projects, to take ideas forward, we will also help those staff members to learn and to gain leadership skills so that they become informal leaders and champions of their ideas so they can actually get their ideas implemented. Staff members who've been given this opportunity are changed forever. They're engaged, they're excited, they're thrilled that they have the opportunity to make a difference and an impact.
and the organizations that let those staff members have an impact, it is like breaking a logjam, busting a dam, so that a huge reservoir of opportunities and ideas come flooding forward.